Gang, I'd like to welcome new sponsor, True Hemp Science, full spectrum CBD products to the show. Now, gang, I've been using these products for a couple of months now, namely their number 81 Relax and Sleep CBD oil. You can find them at truehempscience.com. Now, listen, gang. They create handcrafted quality, full-spectrum CBD products by sourcing the highest-grade hemp from around the world. All unique, all top quality. They offer a complete line of CBD products, including full-spectrum CBD oils, tinctures, CBD skincare lotions, CBD sports rubs, which I've been using, CBD gummies, which I tried, and they're absolutely fantastic, and the CBD gluten-free chocolates. By choosing True Hemp Science, you know it's going to be good, so you can stay focused. Now, gang, I was having some trouble sleeping, and I was having some pain in, like, the palm of my hands, both of my hands. It was weird, and it was getting weird when I was playing. And a couple of months ago, I was at a farmer's market, and I ran into this guy, Simon, and his and he was out there with the True Hemp Science, like, booth. And I got together and started talking with him, and I got some balm for my hands to try and, like, ease the pain, and the pain actually went away. And I ended up getting the number 81 Relax and Sleep True Hemp Science CBD oil. It's a full-spectrum CBD oil. It's absolutely fantastic. I've been sleeping like a baby. This last weekend, I went to Vegas to play a show, and we got in the night before. I was up really late, and I woke up really early, and I was having a hard time trying to get a nap in before this big show we were playing for this convention. And I had a couple of drops of this CBD oil, number 81, the Relax and Sleep thing, and it helped me sleep for 4 hours. And listen, gang, I've been waking up really, really rested, like feeling like I had slept. You know, like not waking up like, oh my God, what do I have to do? Or like waking up like, oh, I need to sleep more. It's like I wake up, I stretch, and I just feel like, wow, I really slept. Go to truehempscience.com and use the code HDIGH and get something special. Purchase $65 worth of regular price products and receive 296 milligrams of their number 81 distillate. Number 81 is great for rest, relaxation, and sleep. That's the one I'm talking about. That's the one that's been helping me sleep, helping me wake up rested, and feeling ready to take on the day. Focused and ready to go. That's True Hemp Science. Find them at truehempscience.com. Now listen, gang, for the next few weeks, I'll be telling you about some other products I've been using, even their CBG. They're number 41. Boy, that one really gives you focus and gets you ready to take on your day. But right now, I'm telling you, go to truehempscience.com/HDIGH. Use the code HDIGH, and with your $65 purchase, you'll receive 296 milligrams of the number 81, which is great for rest, relaxation, and sleep. Go to truehempscience.com. This stuff really works, you guys. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Aldi.
When we talked.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys are all having a good week. Whatever it is you do during the week, if you work, if you don't, if you just live the dream, or if you're listening to this when you're on the trail or driving to work or whatever, I hope you guys have all had a good week, whatever it is you did. It's crazy out there, right? This whole Russian invasion of Ukraine is pretty insane. It is. It's totally insane. You know what's weird is I looked in my, going over my numbers this week, I noticed that my numbers haven't changed. Like, I get a number of downloads from Ukraine and from Russia, and they're still pretty much the same as they were a couple weeks ago, which is weird. Maybe they're like, just because they subscribe, they're coming down. I just can't really imagine like a war going on and someone's like, I got to find out what's happening with Bevis Griffin and Alex Vallejo over at School of Rock in Austin. Anyway, but maybe it's taken them out of the thing. So anyway, if you're in Ukraine or if you're in Russia, I know you're not in charge of the invasion and most people over there in Russia aren't into it. God, I wish you guys peace and I hope that you're all doing okay. Okay? I hope you're safe and your families are safe. This is all fucking crazy. Anyway, guys, I have a great show for you today. Singer-songwriter Scott Strickland is on the show, and he's got a brand new album, self-titled album, dropping April 29th. It was produced by Eric Harrison and Michael Ingbear over at Studio 601. And he made some videos and stuff that you can find them at scottstrickland.bandcamp.com. sorry, ScottStricklandBand.com. That's where you can find him. And he dropped one single, L.A., from the record, but I've heard the record is fucking great. It is a very sophisticated record, which is what I would expect. You know, I worked with Eric Harrison, Michael Ingbert, and Andrew Nolte, who played all over the album, did all kinds of stuff on the album. I worked with them a couple years ago on a tune called Sun, Earth, Moon that came out last spring or last summer or something. And it was a great time. And those guys are really sophisticated. And Scott is a sophisticated songwriter. These songs are fantastic. He's an amazing singer. There's a sort of elegance to his execution that you know, you could liken to like a Steely Dan, although he doesn't sound anything like Steely Dan. There is that level of sophistication on the record. Scott is celebrating the release of his self-titled album with a release show on April 30th at the Stateside at Paramount Theater. That's pretty exciting, man. He got the theater. Like, that's always like one of those things that you do, you know, when you're doing a release and you try and go reach for the brass ring, like have a big show, like shit, we're going to set a new precedent. I'm going to start playing theater. So guys, you can get your tickets for this at tickets.austintheater.com. And, or as I said, go to ScottStricklandBand.com. Erica Michelle opens the record release show. Plus, there's a new company around, and you'll be hearing from their founder next week. The company's called Amped Up. It's a booking company. They've got a website, and they're trying to simplify booking, streamline booking, and they're having a launch party on Monday, March 14th during South by Southwest from noon to 3, which it's one of those, that's an early day party, but I'm into it, man. It's at the Green Jay at 7-Eleven Red River. That's the Amped Up launch party. You can find stuff about it at ScottStricklandBand.com, but Scott is playing that party. I think that's his only show, and I think he's doing a stripped-down acoustic show. But he's doing his record release show April 30th at the Stateside at the Paramount Theater. We have a great conversation. He and I talked back in 2020, and I think that he was still working on this record. Like, this record, you know, obviously during the pandemic, and when you're self-funding, things take a little bit longer. So this one's taken pretty long. I imagine that the next record Scott Strickland makes, he's going to do it pretty fast and get it out. what a great guy, and also what a great record. You're going to hear the single L.A. that's out now from the self-titled album that drops April 29th. Ismael Quintanilla came by with Scott Strickland and filmed the interview. I don't know if they're going to release it in some way. That was really exciting, but he's got a lot of pictures, and I will post them in a folder on our How Did I Get Here Facebook page. So go to Facebook. If you're on Facebook, go to it. I'll put some pictures on Instagram and on Twitter. I'm at Johnny Gowdy on Instagram and Twitter, and How Did I Get Here on Facebook. So go out there, check it out. You can see all the photos. And so I guess without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with the amazingly talented and super cool Scott Strickland. Let's get down.
Saying that you want to go back to L.A. Saying that you want to quit your job, saying it drives you crazy. Taking everything that I gave you away, even all of the hearts, all the cards, all the letters on your birthday. You could have had me in the summertime, wind blows and the breeze is fine. California sky getting high on a Saturday afternoon. Saying that you want to go back to L.A.
All right, so welcome to the show in person.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's good
nice
to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to see you.
Yeah.
I had a good time talking to you last time. And were you working on this record last time, Scott Strickland?
I was.
That's
working
the title
on this
of the
record.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 I was. I can't remember what stage I was in, because I was like, I think I was transitioning out of one studio and going to another studio. But yes, I was. Yeah, I
right.
was definitely.
And you ended up doing this at Studio 601.
That's correct.
With yeah. Eric Harrison and Michael Ingbert. And of course, their secret weapon that we were talking about, Andrew Nolte.
Mm-hmm.
He
yes.
really, yeah, he changed chords in my song and everything. I mean, for the better.
Really?
Like, he was like, hey, let's make this a minor.
Yeah.
And then once he did that and I was into it, he went through and tried to change them all.
Really?
Not all of them, but a bunch more.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, well, that worked. Let's do it again.
Right.
But he's just a monster.
Yeah. Andy is a Mack truck of he's, just ideas and just, I'm going to do this. And you know, I don't like all that music speak that, you know, that
he's
the real
totally
musicians do.
He's like a 1960s like studio session
yeah,
guy. Like
exactly.
He's yeah. a cat.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. On bar 25 here, let's do this thing here. Let's go to this minor here. Yeah. Let's do that thing. Let's hold that for four measures, and then we're gonna come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's do that. Yeah. It's hard enough for me to just stay like on tempo. You know? Just like the play to the click.
Well, I actually watched some of your last live stream, not all of it, but okay. I watched some of it. But you got a good time. You're really good.
I'm getting better. Thank you. Thank you.
There's something that's interesting because when I got the way that you were described to me in the email from the publicist is like a blues rock guy.
Right. Yeah.
That is not. There's a thing to your music, and it's interesting because you're doing your record release show at the Stateside Theater. Mm-hmm. And that was when I was listening to the record, one of the main things I was going to say is that this record has the same problem to me that R&B and pop have in the world that we live in, like playing at the Hole in the Wall or at Seaboys. Uh-huh. It's not really going to work because there needs to be more... Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's too expensive to put in this place where a rock dude can just play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally get that.
And there's a thing about your record that I was like it's very sophisticated. It's very elegant. Thank you. I would say I understand the blues and rock thing, but it's almost like in the same vein of like, and I mean this in the best way possible, like Steely Dan.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's not just G and A. Like there's bigger chords than that.
That's
you know?
A huge compliment. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Because I really like them a lot.
Oh, good.
A whole lot.
Good. Because that really, do you see it? Oh, you can't see it. I had to play with.
Scott. Oh, man.
From Steely Dan and the Doobies.
Wow.
Yeah. I love that dude. So that was what I got when I was listening to it, and then I was like, oh, so he's gonna do this at a theater. But then I was like, this is all it makes up. Like, was that the reason why you decided to do it at the theater?
I wanted to do it in a sit down in a place where people could sit down and just enjoy a show.
Right.
You know, I went to see, and like we have been planning the show since like last summer. You know,
2021.
When I sent the initial like thing out.
Yeah.
And then in the fall, they were like, "Oh, you're good. That's great." Zach Ernst, he got me in. I was like, "Okay, cool, great." And then they came back and they were like, "Oh, there's some other things we're not completely confirmed yet." And I was like, "What does that mean?"
That's the bummer with those theaters is there's always like five holds.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Three of those holds are way better than you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're gonna lose your gig if they come through.
I know, but I was like, Zach, come on, man, come on. Come on, like just let me have it. Give it to me. Come on now. And it worked out exactly the way that it needed to. I now understand why people have managers. I get it now. Because you just like you know, you're looking at like the rundown, they're advancing the show to me and I don't even really know exactly what it's called, but like there's just all these numbers on it, right? With like the seats and the cost of the tickets and production costs, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I really don't understand a whole lot of this, but I think from what I'm looking at here, that makes sense. I think so I got a couple other people to look at it. I have like, you know, mentors like Kevin Russell and
that's
Jeff
a great
Lankenhorn.
Mentor.
He's there.
Blankenhorn's your mentor?
Yeah, yeah. Plank's like since COVID, he's really kind of got on board with you know.
I was trying to find something disparaging to say about it. I love Jeff Blankenhorn.
Yeah, Plank is like the most just awesome. He's you know we I know we're kind of getting off track a little bit,
no, it's
but
okay.
He's so everyone in this town. It feels like to me like they just have like they have their contacts and their connections or whatever, and they're like I just want to hold it like here so that to protect myself to protect. Protect my career or whatever the case may be, something I don't know, but like Plank is one of those guys that just whatever I have, I'm giving it to you. Whatever I have,
yeah,
take it.
Yeah,
and Kevin's one of those guys
Kevin
too.
Is too. Yeah,
you know
he's
they're just incredible.
They're both great guys,
people. So I mean, enough of that. But yeah, they're great. They're awesome. The booking of the show was a little bit hair raising. And
but you spend so much time, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I understand where, because that's the same way that I felt like I was telling you last year. You get a choice between a couple of places, and you know, 310 is one of them, and the other one isn't. And it's like, you know, I would rather go into, like, I'd rather lose money doing it the way I want to do it.
Yeah, than, right. Yeah,
you know.
And I think that will. I think it's gonna work out to where I'll you know, we'll break even. At least, and I mean, and I'm also paying my guys, you know, like, you know, at least, you know, a couple $100, you know, for the show each.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, I'm doing the right things.
Who's your, that's exactly what I paid my guys last time too.
Yeah. Who's in the band kind of thing. It's, Mike's going to be on drums. He's also the MD and.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mike Ingberg. Yeah. So he's going to be, he wants to protect the record. He's all about, like, you're not going to go messing this up doing a bunch of jam band stuff. Like, you're not going to do it. Yeah, like, yeah.
Those guys wrote me when I was doing that show because I did that single with them. They're like, hey, you want us to come up and play on the single for the.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I think it was for the same reason.
Yeah. He was like, you're not going to mess this up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't think about it. But to have someone that is a drummer, that is busy, that wants to, that is a friend of mine that respects what I do and that wants to actually get on board and do stuff.
Yeah. And that was part of the creation of the, you know, part of the team of what made it.
Yeah, right. You know? Exactly. And if honestly, if I had it my way, I think, I mean, I don't know why I don't have it my way, but if I, you know, I consider myself a student still, you know, I very much am going to continue to learn and not say, oh, this is what I want, whatever. But if I did have it my way, it would be, you know, sax and trumpet up there. We just have, you know, like, it would just be a big jam fest, man. Everyone would just be pulling out doobies and just, like, just going for it. And we'd be jamming on, like, you know, songs for, like, 15, 20 minutes.
And so that, is that really what, that's really who you are as a guy?
I mean, it's been who, yes, that's who I've been.
Who?
You know, I really just, like, I love just getting into tunes, just jamming with the band. And, like, I just love that stuff. I love that so much. And I know that this... It's possible that, you know, with this record, we'll open up and we'll do some of that stuff later. But right now, it's just like, stick to the script.
Yeah.
Just don't F this up. Just get it out the door the best you can, you know?
Where did that come from? Like, the like, who inspired you in that? Are you a dead guy or a fish guy? Or
dead,
you
are? Fish, and Dave. Yeah.
Wow, your, like, music does not.
I know.
It does not tell me that.
I know. I would say that the old Scott Strickland,
right.
Like, you know, when I had, like, the band and all that stuff, we would just get, I mean, you know, we're playing at, like, you know, Craft Pride back on Rainy, we're playing somewhere on Rainy Street,
right,
basically,
right.
And it's like, you know, $400 for the whole band for the night. We're just like, okay, cool, let's just jam for 3 hours.
Like a 3 hour, basically. Yeah, well, and, then that's, know, where
and
it
we're,
comes
and
from,
we're
yeah.
just, yeah, and we're just stretching these tunes out.
And in a live situation, that can be fun.
It is.
You can take people on a ride, but...
Yeah.
It seems like what you're doing now is so much more song focused.
It is.
Yeah.
And I like that aspect of it. I really do. And I there's also the camaraderie that I had with the band that I used to have back when it was, like, quote unquote Scott Strickland band.
Right.
You know, we were like just, we were in rehearsals every week. We were just kind of, you know, it was a great time. And, you know, things happen, things change, my ambitions change, people, you know, like, bands break up. That's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
I'm still in touch with all of them and everything, but it's definitely something where I would like to get back into that realm, but these songs and me talking about, and, you know, I guess my truth and kind of putting that out there,
right,
is so much more important than my ambitions to, like, want to jam on a tune.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's more than me now. And it has to be. And that's kind of like why I have to respect what Mike and Eric are, you know, kind of coaching me through in terms of, let's just do a good show. Like, let's not worry about, you know, showing off or showboating or anything. Just give them a good show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's where we're at.
So is Eric playing bass?
No, he's not. He, I forget. I think it's, I actually don't know the guy, but Mike does. And we're going to start getting into rehearsals in March for that. I think Mike's going to play. I don't know the guy's name,
okay,
but Mike trusts him. And because Mike trusts him.
You do.
I trust him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and he also, it's also really interesting because there's sub bass that we need to have live as well. So we got to have a guy that, you know, does, you know, this, but also has to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of bassists are multi-instrument. You know, I consider bass players like, I mean, they are the sauce of whatever band that you're in. I highly respect bass players, particularly a whole lot. But, like, we needed a bass player that could do both. And so that person has to do both. Okay. And I don't know who that person is.
Andrew playing?
He is. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He's doing keys. He's organizing strings. All this. We'll have two string players for that show.
So those are real strings on the record?
They're real strings.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Who played those?
Christabel Lynn. She's fantastic. She's amazing. She's great. Jason Ilanoff. There was Jeff Elliott. And then Tony Rogers. They're like well like known in like the string world, which is like a completely different world.
It's a whole different world
than ours. Yeah. Like it's just weird.
They don't jam.
They
have all their shit written out and they follow the script and that's all they do. It's real
that's
weird.
It. Yeah. Where is it? Okay, cool. Great, let's go. Like and I'm just like where like but they have they have it, like the feeling and all that stuff. They have all that stuff too. Yeah. Like they understand it, but it's like they do both at the same time. Yeah. It's really weird to see that. But they're great. They're fantastic. And also, we did two string sessions. And then the next time, Valerie Fisher played on that. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. So how long did it take to make this record?
Starting back in, I think it was December of 2019.
Okay.
And then that process went through February of 2021.
Okay, because I remember going in there with those guys in the first week of March of like 2020,
mm-hmm.
like right before everything shut. Because we were going to get back together the next week, but everything was closed. Right. But you were who they were talking. Like you were the guy that they were working with at the time.
Yeah,
that they were very that was the project they were stoked on.
Right. Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really something where I worked with Carlos Sosa, who's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's awesome. And we did a lot of prep work. We did a lot of pre-pro, and then we went to the studio. We cut a couple of songs, and then we came back to his home studio, and it just, I don't know, like we had an, I really wanted to wait and make sure that the EP was going to be finished. It was supposed to be a record, turned out to be an EP. And then I was just like listening to it. I'm like, you know, it sounds great. It sounds awesome. It's like polished and everything. And it sounds super professional. It's just not me. And
I've had that before.
Yeah. And I just, it's no hard feelings, but,
no, it's expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I was like, I to make sure that I wasn't crazy, I went over to Mike and Eric, and I think it was like the summer of 2020, and I said, can we just do this drive all night? Can we just do this song and see if this is going to work? And we did it, and just from the mix, from the board, just playing it back, I was like, this feels good.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm at home. It feels like I can finally put on, you know, that armor and feel good about this. So I was like, okay, we're going to start over again. This is what we're going to do. I went home and thought about it. Then I came back and I was like, okay, let's do a record.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
did you write all this stuff just by yourself?
Yeah. The 99% of it or so there were, and I still struggle with this, and maybe you can help me with this while we're live on the podcast. I don't know. But like, so I had a couple of bass players come in and out, and they like had done a few like little melodies or something, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of those melodies was Drive All Night. My buddy Adam Prado, he's an awesome whiz on the bass. He doesn't live here anymore. He lives in Redding, California, with his family and stuff. But he's a great friend of mine. And we did two songs, Drive All Night and then You Got Me, which is on the other side of the record. And, you know, he just kind of came up with these lush bass lines for him, just for like a part of it, just for a melody of it. And then I was like, I just wrote around that, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But so I would say I did credit him as a songwriter for those. I did. I mean, because, you know, I think that's the right thing to do. I wouldn't have had those tunes if it wasn't for him. So
that's you know, A&R, right?
I do.
Yeah. I mean, there's some songs that, you know, there were things where I was stuck and some people might not call it songwriting.
Yeah.
But there have been a few times in my thing where I'm like, I'll give you 50% of this song if you could just help me get out of this thing.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely something where I kind of just wrote it. I came back and I was like, what do you think? And he was like, oh, this is awesome. This is great. And that really was just it. But I just feel like I wouldn't have had that song if it wasn't for, you know,
right.
that yeah. initial thing. So I just gave him credit. I think it's like half of melody or something.
Do you do a lot of any co-writing at all? Like not just for yourself,
but with other people? I'm starting to. It's funny you say that because I met up with Jeff, I think it was last weekend actually, and we just had a little songwriting session with this tune that I'm working on. Brand new tune. Obviously it's a brand new tune. And we got the bones of it down, which is great, and it was awesome. And that's the first time I've ever co-written with anybody. It's kind of weird. You know, it's like, it's like you're sitting there like naked next to someone else that's naked. And you're just like, you know, kind of like, that's a horrible visual for, you know, like anyone, you know me. But like, I mean, it's something where like, it's, I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird. But I like it.
Yeah.
Because it takes me out of my, I think that's one thing that I really want to do is get out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And out of my own wheelhouse and kind of start doing some other things that, you know, would influence the songwriting.
It's the fastest way. Like, I know that feeling when you're writing songs, you're like, fuck, I'm always writing like the same guy. Like, how do I get out of this groove? And sometimes you just get with somebody and just, it's a completely different perspective. And you realize that it just opened a whole new avenue for you as a writer. What are you like a diligent writer? Are you pretty prolific? Do you write a lot or?
No, no. I have like melodies, I have ideas and recently those melodies are turning into like almost like full songs, but I'm just like, you know, stuff like that. And I mean, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool, but there's no lyrics to it. Doesn't have a whole lot of structure. I'm just kind of, you know, doing it.
Right.
You know,
you're not in any of those groups.
I was.
You were. Did you get kicked out? I've gotten kicked out too.
I did.
I got kicked out of Ray Prim.
You did? I got kicked out of Ray's group too. Yeah.
I got really mad and I was like, dude, I'm more famous than anyone else in that group and you're kicking me out? Like, he's like, you still got to write fucking songs to be in it, dude.
Well, so what happened was that he changed the rules because no one was turning in their stuff on time, right? So he said that you can just turn in everything like at the last week and then we'll just talk about it or go from there or whatever. So I was like, great. I've got 8 weeks to write or however many weeks it was to write like, you know, 8 tunes or whatever.
Cause and you waited until like the last day.
And I wait. Well, it didn't even get there. Because so no one was turning in their stuff at all. And so Ray just like, he got mad. He just disbanded the entire group. And I think I made a comment like, you know, like, Ray, you know, you're like your Professor X, dude. And we're like just over here. Like we're like these little mutants that need help. You know, and I don't know. It was, I thought it was hilarious at the time. I think one other person responded.
He's turned into a machine, man. I mean, I remember when he wasn't that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew him when he wasn't that guy.
Yeah.
Now he's like,
I think he writes like 3 songs a day or something. I don't know. The guy's, you know, he's got his own studio now and he can like mix and master. And I was listening to Erica Michelle's music. She's opening for me at the Paramount.
I saw that, yeah.
And she, like, her stuff, it sounds good. Like it sounds like,
oh, right. That's,
it sounds,
I heard that.
Good.
Yeah.
Like it's, I mean, like,
he's good at what he does.
He really is. Yeah. Like he really, I mean,
well, Jesus, he spent like 2 years just doing that. Or at least one solid year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and I'm not saying that I'm surprised that Erica Michelle sounds good because Erica Michelle sounds amazing. But like the fact that, cause I didn't know that he made those records until she told me that he made those records. Yeah. I was like, Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Like, it is the ghetto lounge, as he calls it.
Yeah. I could see that thing coming. Like 3 years ago, we were in the studio at the bubble. You were there.
Mm.
Peace out. With him. And you like just the questions he was asking about the gear, you were like, oh, this dude's like, he's not coming back here. He's setting up his own thing. He's going to stay home for this. And he really, like, he's really, it shows you what you can do during a pandemic. And not that he wasn't on his way there, but that gave him, like, it pushed the accelerator down.
Yeah. And I mean, I do think that there's some kind of like equitable thing to having your own studio. Like, I mean,
how do you, what do you do to record your own thing?
I just hemorrhage money. I slip my wrist until that's what I do. And there's,
that's very like 1995 of you.
And I just, you know, just paint the wall with my blood. And then that's when I'm done, that's it. That's what I do now. Yeah. I would love to have like my own, I mean, I've got equipment, I've got nice microphones, I've got nice stuff, but like, there's something also different about just being in a different space, you know, being in a different space with a completely different energy inspires different things to come out of you. Plus, I'm the kind of guy where I'm going to go into the vocal booth, I'm like wearing sweats, I'm wearing like a t-shirt.
You don't look cool?
No, not at all. But when I'm in there, like, I'm like dancing around, I come out and I'm like a sweat, like I just did cardio, I'm a sweaty mess when I come out of that booth.
That's awesome.
And I think so. And it's like, I don't know, like I can't do that in my apartment, you know, right. You know what I mean, like I just like I can work on stuff, I can have sketches and all that, but like I think when I Maybe it's the 90s version of me, I don't know. But like I feel like when I'm ready, it's like, let's go to a studio. But the one thing that I do want to do more of is maybe not take so much time next time making the record.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, get, you know, let's get the band in. Let's do some stuff. Go for like a week.
It takes a long time when you're financing it yourself.
That's true, too.
I mean, it just does.
Yeah. That's very true.
It really does. I have some other things I want to talk to you about, but saw that you did like some, and you have a Patreon, right?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You laughed.
You
were doing like some interview stuff, like some podcast stuff about the record with the guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I've seen some people doing that lately, and it's at like Leyline. You fancy? They did like a whole series of their last record.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like kind of talking about each song and different people do stuff. There was Tony Camel, him from Wooden Wire?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That guy did a whole podcast about like his record is kind of about the Gulf Coast and kind of the culture of people that live there.
Mm-hmm.
And the songs are all kind of about, and so he went down there and like interviewed all these people. Like, love this sort of like companion thing to a record, especially if you're going to take that long making a record. Well, then shit, like squeeze as much as you can out of it. You know,
I'm going to get blood from the stone. Yeah. I'm trying to milk as much of this as I can.
Well, to me, it's also, you know, it also allows the audience to connect more deeply with the record.
Right.
Because at this point, when you put out a record, someone listens to it on Spotify, you can barely see the artwork. I mean, that's true. And so like that stuff goes under, there's no credits anymore.
Nope.
Like you can't find credits.
Nope.
And so if those kind of things, I think help, and it gives someone an insight to what you've made.
Yeah. And I do think that it's, I mean, maybe this has always been done. I don't know, but I feel like it's, you got to bring in as much medium as you can to accompany what this record is. Yeah. You know, I mean, music videos. I mean, I didn't really think that making a music video for that single LA was going to help, but it's actually helped quite a bit. It's helped kind of, I mean, like I had like 13 listeners before, I have like 75 now, which is great.
That's exponential.
Like that, I mean, that's exactly, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I mean, and I'm not like, I mean, I don't have hundreds of thousands of followers. I don't have a lot of that stuff, but we'll get there.
You're also a relatively new artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also true. I don't feel new, but I'm pretty,
it's interesting because you're in an interesting spot because as someone that's outside looking at it, you're like, so who is this guy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm prepping for this podcast. I'm like, who is Scott Strickland? Like to everyone else, not just me, but like how is he viewed? And to me, you're kind of like this rock star that's, you know what I mean? Like you're very popular here.
Yeah. I mean, my name gets thrown around.
Yeah, like people reference you and like, yeah, you got this record coming out and
I hope it's all good stuff. You know,
oh yeah, nobody says you're a jackass or I wouldn't have brought it up.
Right. Thanks. Yeah.
So last year, I think it was last year, I woke up and I was watching the news and having my coffee and then you were like there, like in a suit talking.
Oh. Yeah.
I was like, what's going on? What?
Yeah.
What was that? I remember what it was.
That was the prop A thing, or like the No Way on Prop A thing. So basically,
right.
Yeah, it was basically wanted to take money away from cultural arts and all these other entities, parks and rec and all this other stuff.
Sure.
To basically fund the police, which is, or give more funding to the police. And my argument behind that, and I can't really, I do take credit for being there and all that stuff, but Pat Buchta, awesome Texas musicians,
is Nakia's thing?
It's Nakia's thing. It's more Pat's thing now.
Okay.
Nakia's kind of like been doing some stepping down ish kind of stuff for like the last few months, but I mean, Pat's really the one that's doing a lot of the work, a ton of the work, and he, I don't know, he's kind of like almost like a saint of Austin now. Just, I mean, he's just one of these guys that just wants to make sure that we're doing right by musicians and right by people. He's very much about protecting the music industry and has so much on his plate and does all these amazing things. But Pat called me and asked me to be there. And so me being there, it was just me talking about like how we don't really need more funding by the police. And also like Greg Abbott, he actually cut the police budget by like quite a bit. I think it was out of he actually cut the police budget. I don't know where that money went, but that's why they're going after money from the cultural arts and all this other stuff. So that was, I mean, it's just like they're going to cut the funding for the police and then they're going to make it so that the arts community is actually paying for it. And the arts community has actually been hurting a ton because of, you know, COVID.
No one can do anything. Yeah.
No one can do anything. So like, I mean, we are the first people that suffer and we are the last people that stop suffering.
Exactly.
when it's all over and you're going to like take money from us. It's like, no, let's not do that. Plus, I mean, there's also like this whole like right wing kind of Republican thing. They're very, very good at their language and their their agendas. They're very, very, very dystopian. A lot of their agendas are very dystopian and they're very I don't know. It's very Orwellian if you want to put it that way. You know.
Do you how do you get along with folks on the other side?
It's one of those things where I kind of look past my friendship with my friends that are on the other side of that. It's more important that I'm friends with them and that we have this very cyclical relationship where we're both going to get something out of the relationship, right, no matter what it is. And I can kind of put, you know, I can look past those things and even talk politics because I do think that it's something worth talking about. I do think that, you know, hearing different arguments about critical race theory is a good thing. I do think that hearing arguments about, you know, just other things, I think those things are important. I think like, you know, like abortion or whatever. I think it's good to like have
those conversations,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And kind of understand one another's point of view. And I think that we have to get beyond, oh, well, if you're not, you know, I mean, you're not for killing babies. So like, you're just going to like, whatever, like I can't talk to you anymore.
Right,
so, I mean,
right,
you know,
it's kind of ridiculous,
you know, at the same time, it's me standing up for myself.
Kind of,
you know, a perfect example of this was a friend of mine. We were supposed to hang out or something like that, and he's like a very much an anti-vaxxer, not a no mask kind of guy at all. And I'm like, and that's okay, that's fine. But what happened was is that I invited him up to go and see a movie, and the movie, he was like, you want me to go to a theater with you and go and see a movie? And it's like, yeah. And he was like, well, why do you want to do that? And I'm like, well, I mean, the only reason why I didn't want to hang out before was because I was isolating to go home and see my parents.
Yeah.
Because they asked me to.
Yeah.
So Just like you don't want to be vaxxed and you don't want to wear a mask, I have to respect that. I'm your friend. I can respect that. But I also have to respect my parents that we're making up for a COVID Christmas.
Right.
You know, if they don't want me to see anyone, I'm not going to see anyone because right. They don't want COVID. And I'm like, you're right. You shouldn't get COVID. You know, so it's that kind of relationship kind of thing that's constantly being worked out.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of sussing out. And the thing is that we don't do a whole lot of that anymore.
No.
You know, we don't talk to people on the other side anymore about any of that shit at all. And it's frustrating.
Yeah. The divide is pretty, you know? it's pretty huge.
It's and stark.
Very. Mm-hmm. I have a dad that's like Trumpy, mm-hmm. as Trumpy as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Like conspiracy, Obama was bringing aliens from the moon to, and like, I'm not joking. One day he just started mm-hmm. telling me that. And I just started laughing. I was like, it's just like, I can understand if you don't like the guy,
yeah.
like don't like him, but like, right. he's not bringing aliens to Antarctica.
Right.
And also why? Yeah. Why is he bringing them?
Yeah, exactly. For what?
Kill Republicans?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it's like it's almost, again, I can listen to the other side of the aisle,
yeah.
but for those that think that the vaccine is just something that like, is going to kill us, or like we're going to grow a third arm and they don't trust it or whatever. I mean, the government could probably, you know, and maybe I'm going to conspiracy theories at this point, but the government could absolutely, probably, more than likely, end cancer tomorrow, end the common cold tomorrow. There's so many things that they have the ability to do.
You think so?
I mean, you know, I do. I
just see this little thing that we can't even see owns us now.
Yeah,
and no one can do anything to stop it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just like you're talking about.
I'm talking about COVID.
Yeah.
Like COVID. Here's this thing that's invisible to all of us that's got us
right
on our knees.
Exactly. Know? And it's on. We're on our knees. We're on our backs. And it's a really, really hard thing. And I don't mean it's like sound like a conspiracy theorist or whatever. But I mean, it's like they need for us to work. They need for us to go make money for them. So yeah. Why is it that they would just allow, why would they want to make something that's going to kill us?
Right, right.
Because yeah. we literally are the ones that go and we make money for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense to me.
It's a weird world, man.
It's a
strange world.
I know. I don't know what this is. I don't know what period we're in now. Like, I mean, Dada would be like, you know, just, I mean, that period between World War I and II would probably be something. I don't know. This is nothing makes any sense anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how things are viewed 20 years from now, like this time is. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It almost seems like a weird, mild civil war.
Yeah.
Like a very mild civil war.
Yeah.
Thank God it's mild.
Mild, yeah. Along with the erosion of our democracy and our traditions and our values and all of that stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing about that is, this is the last thing I'll say, and I'll shut up about it, is that people are like, they're just tired. I mean, I think that people are getting are tired of getting squeezed. Like when, you know, you look at what happened at the Capitol and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, the Trump supporters, all that stuff, whatever, they're all storming the Capitol. We get all that. That's fine. But there are so many parts of this country that do not work for anybody, especially like white rural people. Like the country doesn't work in the cities. It doesn't work in the white rural areas. It's not working for anyone anymore. And that's, I mean, people are just angry and they're fed up with it. And that's exactly why Trump got elected.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, all right.
All right. Well, hopefully it won't happen again.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't. Hopefully it won't. Because we won't have a country if he does.
Well, they're threatening it all the time. It's weird. Okay. So, all right, so you're going to put that. Okay, so this record, did I say all the stuff I wanted to say? The Steely Dan thing was the most important part because I felt like, wow, this is a really sophisticated, musically sophisticated record, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah. So as your own manager, do you have like a list of shit you got to do every day? You got a publicist.
I have a publicist, okay. And it's like the timing like could have been better because I was actually paying a friend of mine to help me out. Just doing some stuff. Who also works for the PR thing. It's kind of weird. But I was talking with Nick Hanover, and Nick was like, you know, you should talk to Chris Flores, who I know, cool. From Laurel Management. And so as of last week, they've kind of,
oh, cool.
You know, but I'm in with them now. So like that's, so I do have management, which is an update, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, Chris is a good person.
She's great. She's awesome. She's a no bullshit kind of person too. Yeah. I love it. Like, she's just like, I don't know. I love her a lot. But it's something where there's still a lot of work to be done no matter what. And yeah. It's kind of like Tamika Jones, what she was saying. I forget what podcast it was on, but you're just kind of siloed and you're just like working like all the time, all day long.
I'm mad at her for that, by the way.
For what?
For going on that other podcast before she left and not coming out. Because I was asking her for
A
while.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going, oh, yeah, what about, how about this? And I don't know.
Huh.
Tamika Jones.
That's really interesting.
I love her.
Yeah, I mean, she's
mad at her half the time.
Yeah, half the time.
But I think that's part of her thing. That's part of her charm.
Yeah, probably.
So she went to LA, right?
She went to LA. Yeah, she's coming back for South by. But yeah, she's.
Are you doing South by?
Still working that out. I'm on the short list right as of this podcast. I'm on the short list right now. I don't know what the hell's going to come of that. I don't know,
dude. I mean, to me, like being on the I mean, so many people have to cancel shit because they get COVID that there's probably a really good chance you're going to play.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing. I'm just laughing at the absurdity of it, but there's probably a really good chance you're going
to
play.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's going to be at the last minute and I'm not going to be prepared and I'm just going to be pissed off that I have to do it anyway.
Well, be prepared.
You know, You're right.
Chris Flores didn't tell you that? Be prepared. Like with that squeak in her voice. Like
She hasn't told me that. Just yet.
Okay. Well, it's only been a week.
That's true. Yeah. Ish. How are we doing on time? Are we okay? Right? Okay.
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 But he's Mel Quintanilla is here again.
Yes, he is.
Want to let the people know.
Yes, he is. And he's so amazing. And I love Ish so much. But going back to the work, there's a lot. Like it's overwhelming. I'm not going to lie to you. Like today, I really just woke up and I woke up a little late, later than I normally do, which was about like 8 o'clock, got to work at 9, and it's just like, oh my God, you know, just all these emails and all this stuff coming in, all this stuff happening, stuff that came over the weekend that now I've got to, and it's nice to have that, to have the buzz.
Yeah.
But now you gotta catch it, put it down, fillet it. You know, you put it in the calendar, you got to get it organized, you got to get prepared for it, you got to do this, you got to do that. And even before, you spend time looking for the stuff. Now that you have the stuff, now you got to do the work to organize it. And then after you organize it, you actually have to go out and do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, you really are, as some, you know, I mean, you really are like, I don't know. I don't even know what that is, but it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's absolutely exhausting. And I don't have a full-time job or anything. This is my full-time job. And there's like, I mean, it gets a little worrisome sometimes. I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like what is happening here? There's so much that has to be done. There's no way. There's no way that if I had a full-time job, I could do all this. There's
no way.
Like you have to literally give your life over to all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So that you can make it work. And it's just the most unnerving thing, you know, to do, where all you really want to do is just, you know, play music. You just want to write. You just want to record. You just want to get that coffee in the morning or maybe that tequila or whatever. And like, you know, it's just, you know, just play a few tunes or whatnot.
Yeah.
And there's no space for that because you've got to nurture what you've already done.
Right.
And it's a hard decision to make.
Do you do a lot of like solo gigs, like the airport and like the wineries and breweries and
I haven't places? Yet. I haven't really done a whole lot of that yet. I just, you know, I mean, I'm just in this mode where I just don't want to do, I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. You know, like,
sitting on a stool.
Yeah.
At a place
that where no one's listening.
I know. It's like, so brutal. It's
well, I mean, for me, it's actually a really good opportunity because I can like
get the reps.
Yeah.
I get the one thing about that.
Yeah. I get to play music that I've never played before, which is also nice. I get to work on tunes right there in front of people because they're not listening.
Yeah.
And like really just kind of, you know, flesh these tunes out or whatever. I have my little Zoom recorder thing. I bring it to every show typically. And like, I just get to you know, go home and like watch the tape. But the thing is that I've done all of that stuff and I have these songs because of all of that stuff. And now that I've done all that stuff and I have these songs because of that, it's about getting this thing out the door, making sure that it's nurtured and being cared for, which is what the management and the PR people are supposed to be doing, right? That at the same time, I'm going back in the woodshed and working on new stuff. So then I can go out and do that thing again where I can just play to nobody, which, I mean, I don't really see a problem in it. It's just not like, I just don't want to do it right now.
Do you travel for shows?
No, not right now. No. I would love to. I would love to. I need a booking person.
When you,
everyone. I just need everyone. That's the number one thing. Yeah, exactly. That's like the number one thing that I think everyone's looking for right now. Is like,
what's also like the most difficult job at the level that you're at, because there isn't like a,
yeah, I know,
a financial windfall coming their way all the time.
Yeah.
So right now your goal is like getting ears on this record and also asses in the seats at the Stateside Theater.
That's the only goal right
on
now.
On April 30th. You can go to tickets.austintheater.com. I'll have a link to that on there. Also, scottstricklandband.com for the tickets and stuff. So you have all of that stuff coming up, and that's your focus right now. But when you're done, like, what happens
after
May 1st?
Yeah. I hope that we'll have enough bookings to kind of do something.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's going to look. That's what I'm working on now.
Well, good. I'm glad that you're working with Chris now, because then maybe at least you guys can maybe get some kind of thing going during South by Southwest. Cause that's the one thing about it. There's really, we have the good fortune, better than people in Dallas or Houston or something, or San Antonio, that the industry descends on our city, and you can, if you have access to these people, get in front of them for a minute and either talk to them or play for them or have them listen to something. And
yeah, but I mean, and that's a very good thing. And I mean, there's a lot of, I think, connections, maybe irons in the fire, if you call it that, not for like shows or any of that other stuff, but just like for me to begin to make this an equitable thing.
Yeah.
For me, in terms of like, hopefully this summer, starting May 1st, we'll start seeing some fruits of our, hopefully April 30th, we'll start seeing that. So,
I know you guys have to go. It's great to see you. And this record is really great. I highly recommend people. This will come out before the record comes out, but LA is the single. There's a video for it. You're fucking great. And I'm glad this record's coming out, and I look forward to see whatever you put out next.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much.
What else? Am I missing some stuff? I know I am.
I don't know if you are. I mean, I don't know. I think that you're great, and I take a lot of inspiration. Again, I don't know if I told you, but I take a lot of inspiration from that show that you did.
Oh, thanks,
at 3:10. It's just, I mean, that was just an incredible thing to watch. You
know,
it just felt like I was at a, I mean, I was at a rock concert.
Yeah.
And it felt that
way. Good. Thank you. That's what I was trying to do.
it was really great. I don't think there's anything else. There's another single coming out. And another one ahead of the release show.
What is it?
It's going to be Drive All Night.
Okay. That's a great song. The songs are great. And really the production's good. Those guys did a great job, and I'm glad Michael's going to be the MD and stuff. I'm sure that makes your show job easier.
Yes. Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah, well, tell Chris I said hi.
I will.
And those Studio 601 guys, because they really are amazing.
They are.
And it's been great talking to you.
Thank
Congratulations.
You,
yeah. Thank Good
you.
Luck with
Thank
everything.
So
Everyone
much.
Get
yeah.
out there.
Yeah.
The record drops on April 29th, and the record release show is April 30th.
Woo.
Woo! Thanks for doing the show, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
California sky getting high on a Saturday afternoon. Saying that you want to go back to LA.
Gang, that was Scott Strickland. His self-titled LP comes out April 29th. You can find him at scottstricklandband.com. That single LA is from the record. You can get out there and check it out right now. Get out there and check it out wherever you stream and download your jams. And go to his record release show April 30th. at the stateside at Paramount with special guest Erica Michelle. Go to ScottStricklandBand.com for all of your Scott Strickland needs. I really had a great time talking to him. And those guys, Eric Harrison, Michael Ingbear, and Andrew Nolte, and everyone that played on the record did an amazing job. Studio 601, great dudes. Great job. Great job, Scott Strickland. Get out there and check out the song L.A. in its entirety. All right. And don't forget, when you're out there checking out ScottStrickland.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts. You get new shows all the time. I think I'm going to drop 3 shows next week. Whoa. Heavy. I'll be dropping Bob Livingston, legendary from the Los Gonzo band. And I'll be dropping Darden Smith, the great Darden Smith. And my conversation with Holly Hagerman from AmpedUp.com. All right. Great conversations all around. I want to thank Scott for coming by. Great talking to you. I want to thank Ismael Quintanilla for taking the pictures. Go to our Facebook page, see the pictures, enjoy them, and have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Here's the rest of the song, L.A. Let's get down.